Your memory might go back at Christmas to remember some of the funny things that have happened and some of the perhaps not so funny things that have happened. But for each of us here, there is always a memory of some kind in Christmas, and quite often you might see the priest, young or old, have a little smirk every now and then. And whenever I read these lines, in the countryside close by there were shepherds who lived in the fields and took it in turns, I always have to breathe and break a line here, they took it in turns to watch their flocks during the night. The reason being that when I was in the seminary, we used to sing shepherds who used to wash their socks by night. And I'm always careful not to say that. So it just makes me smirk and it takes me back to adult memories. Not of washing socks, but of Christmases and the readings that we hear so often. And most of you would think that we're so used to it, nothing much has changed. But I do put it to you in 2023, the end of 2023, that a lot has changed, but it still is a lot is the same. When Jesus was born, there was a lot of angst in the Middle East. It was the eastern edge of the Roman Empire, and it was a backwater, really. And so you had in Rome, the centre of the world, really, Caesar Augustus. You had a puppet governor in Galilee, or in Palestine, Quirinius. And then what Luke does is he brings together the opposites in his nativity story. And he uses the characters and the signs and the things of the times to drive home the importance of his message. So each time we hear the message, something new comes forward, whether it's shepherds washing their socks or something else going on in our life. But the constant for me at this particular time, I suppose, is I think firstly of the gravity of what is happening in the Middle East as we sit here in peace and comfort tonight. I cannot escape it, I cannot avoid it. And it surprises me that churches, Christian churches, some of them do avoid it. But we cannot avoid it. There were troubles at the time that Jesus was born. They were not particularly religious troubles. They were political troubles. And then tonight, I hear the news again and watch again in between the masses. And the political troubles, they seem to get deeper and deeper. And I relate it to what was happening at the time of Jesus' birth. We're told that Caesar Augustus, the ruler of the empire, he called for a census. We're told that it's the first census. It wasn't the first census, but Luke is putting that word in there to just drive home the gravity of the situation. Because what Luke is doing in his gospel story of the Nativity is he is highlighting the differences, the opposites. And that's probably what I'd give you tonight as we look and we live our Christmas in peace and harmony here in Australia, looking at the opposites that do exist in our lives. Yet there are some things that are still constant. The dramas in the Middle East and Gaza, dear Gaza, please remember that Joseph and Mary and Jesus escaped to Egypt through Gaza. They became refugees through Gaza and lived in Egypt for 7 years and then came back to settle up in Nazareth. But technically they were refugees. They were exiled because of hostility. And I think now not much has changed. Just the kinds of weapons that are being used have changed. So where is God in all of this? God Emmanuel, which means God with us. Where is God in all of this? Luke gives us the opposites to help us examine and to dig deep in our own lives, in the experience that we have here and now, in the context of the whole world. I don't apologise for making my homily tonight a little bit more in-depth. I know that everybody thinks that the nativity and the birth of Jesus is lovely and it's all about kids and stuff. Well, there is a truth to that, but there is also, in my opinion, a sanitising that has taken place of the Christmas event. It was not a pretty event. It was not glossy. There was no tinsel. And the opposites that Luke gives us actually highlights that. And I'd use that as my instrument tonight to help you delve a little deeper into your Christmas experience and your contribution in the world at this time. I think the simplest way of putting it is, if we examine the world and we look at Christ our light, we look at the world of light and we look at the world of darkness. Caesar Augustus, the most powerful man in the world, had everything. He had a puppet there, Quirinius. The two of them ruled that part of the world. The opposite two figures that Luke gives us are Mary and Joseph. The powerful, the powerless. They lived in a castle, magnificent palace. These people were homeless. They were dressed in the finest clothes that could be worn at that time. This child was wrapped in what we call swaddling clothes. Swaddling clothes are used to put around a burial garment. So the next time that we hear about these sort of clothes, not a child wearing, but will be Jesus on the cross. So Luke is really making us look at the opposites that exist within the world. He gives us shepherds. He's the only one that talks about the shepherds. Shepherds were the lowest class. They were almost criminals, to the point that in Hebrew law, a shepherd going to court, you could not take his word as the truth. It would not stand up in court at all. So they were disregarded. Yet, and there we have the shepherds, and then what's the next thing we have? We have angels, band of angels. The word that is used in Greek for the angels singing glory to God in the highest and peace to people of goodwill, the word that is used is actually the same word that is used by Caesar Augustus and Quirinius, which summons their army together. So once again, you have these opposites. You have the army of Caesar, power, and then you have the army of God. The word for Caesar, he was called Kyrie, which is Lord. That's where we get the word Kyrie eleison, Lord have mercy. But there was one Lord who had no power, but he became the most powerful. And as a result of that, you're here tonight. The birth of Jesus changed the world. It is not a soft, sanitised story about a little baby and animals. It is a harsh reality that the world changed because God decided to bring himself forward in the face of an innocent child and then mature into an innocent man and have the darkness of the world try to smother the light. We need to remember that, I think, at Christmas. And I'm not trying to burst your Christmas bubble. I'm not trying to do that at all. I'm just trying to say that we need to grasp the reality of what it is, as you are, to be a person of faith in 2023. The rest of the world is doing what it does at this particular time, but you have taken your time to come forward with whatever the depth and the breadth of your faith might be, with whatever little bit of light burns in your heart or whatever big bit of light burns in your heart. And you bring that forward. And you ask the innocence of a child who had flesh and bones and bled and tears, like we all do, to make us stronger, more powerful in the sense of more godly people than what we have been. And if we could do that in the world, there would not be headlines in Palestine at the moment. But we haven't achieved that yet. It is a work that unfolds. It's like watching your children grow up and mature. It unfolds before your eyes, and many of you would be saying, what is going to become of this child? They're words of scripture as well. They were said of John the Baptist. What will become of this child? What will become of us? What will become of our world if we don't shine a light? You are people of faith. Please let your light shine. I'm reading a book at the moment by Trent Dalton, a very famous Australian author. Some of you may know him. He wrote a book called The Boy Who Swallowed the Universe. But he's just released a new book this year called Lola in the Mirror. It's only just been released. And I'm not on commission for selling the book, so this is not an advert. Trent Dalton. And it is the story of a young girl, a 17-year-old girl, who encapsulates the story of young girls who are homeless, who are nameless, in Australia, in our time. And it's tragedy and drama and humour and mystery. And I've only just started it, but I'm finding it very difficult to put down because I find it so relevant. Because one of the words that this young girl uses, she lives in a car on the bank of the Brisbane River. One of the lines that she uses, she's actually an artist. She says that the light that is in our life, and the opening prayer and the readings that we've heard all about light, the light that is in our life, the light that is on a page, it is only light because of the darkness that surrounds it. It is the darkness that makes the light light, makes the light bright. So in 2023, this Christmas, there is darkness around us, just in Palestine and here as well. In your own life, there may well be, but the light is there. You here tonight exemplify that light. You bring light and encouragement to a world that may seem completely darkened. Let your light shine at this time. Follow the light of the star that led to Bethlehem and surprise the world with what you have inside you. You may not realise it, but somewhere along the line you have the opportunity, each and every one of you and myself, to bring people from darkness into the light. And I think that that's really what Christmas is all about. It was then, and it is now.